I am very honored to bring up our special guest today, Bill Dwyer.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here. Made it through all this cold weather out there. Saw a little frost on my roof this morning. It was really kind of good to see that. I like to see that. Well, let me pray for us before we get started here. Dear Lord, as we study more about the book of James and trying to understand what life is really all about and how to live it, I just pray that you'll help each one of us to kind of open our hearts and open our minds to see where we are and to see what we need to do to move forward in relationship to you, in relationship to those all around us, so that we can really truly live the life that you've given us and turn away from the things of the world that really cause us all kinds of problems. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been studying in the book of James. James is a really great book because it's so practical. It really deals with all the issues of life that we have and helps us to really better understand really how to live our lives. And it really identifies a lot of the challenges that we have in life. Last week, we looked at the tongue, the problem of the tongue. I don't know about you, but my tongue gets me into trouble an awful lot, particularly with my wife. It's a challenge, I think, to keep track of my tongue and make sure, I guess more than anything else, that my heart is right. If my heart is right, then my tongue follows suit. If my heart is not right, then bad things come out of my mouth, and that's never a good thing. But today we're going to look at a different thing. We're going to look at the subject of wisdom. What is wisdom? And within this, James is going to raise one question for us, and that's going to be, who is wise? And then he's going to give two different contrasts. We're going to look at the contrast of somebody who's wise and somebody who's not. And we're going to look at the contrast between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And we'll see what those two look like. But I have a question right off the bat for us. What is wisdom?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, okay.
An intelligent application of knowledge.
An intelligent application of knowledge, okay. So there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. You know, knowledge is more, I guess, the information. We have lots of information. Wisdom really deals with more, what do we do with this knowledge? And I think more specifically, it looks at how do we apply the knowledge that we have around us to how we live our life. And particularly in Scripture, wisdom always has to do with how do I live my life, so that I really can have the best possible outcome for my life. So that really becomes very, very important. You may not know it, but within Scripture, there are whole sections of the Bible devoted to wisdom. The book of Proverbs, for example, is devoted to wisdom. It's called one of the wisdom, or one of the pieces of the wisdom literature in the Bible. So we have Proverbs, we have some of the Psalms are there, the book of Job is there, the book of Ecclesiastes. How many have read Ecclesiastes? Yeah, good, it's a lot. There's a lot of practical wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes on how we should live our lives. And it really talks an awful lot about the futility of living life according to the world. He uses this expression, under the sun, and he says, all is futile and vanity if I live life just under the sun. So wisdom becomes a very, very important thing for us. Okay, so let's begin here. Let me read the passage first of all. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. It says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant or boastful and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So there's a lot of things for us to cover this morning. Particularly, we're going to look at a lot of different words associated with wisdom and where that wisdom really comes from. But the first question was, again, who among you is wise? Anybody wise? Nobody wise? Almost sounds like a trick question, doesn't it? Well, but it's a very, very important question for us to answer. And the way he describes the wisdom here, or how you know if you are wise, it says, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. So there's a relationship between wisdom and our behavior. How does my life demonstrate that? How does it show up? And here's where we find our first contrast. He asks the question, are you wise? And you may say, yeah, I'm wise. I know how to live my life. I understand how to do this. Things are working out pretty well for me. But then he says in verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not brag and so lie against the truth. So you have to examine what's going on. It's what you talk about in terms of, I know how to live, I've got my life covered, I'm happy with the way things are at, I'm set. But if there's bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, it says you lie against the truth. How is that lying against the truth? Anybody have any ideas? How is that lying against the truth?
Beg your pardon?
Yeah, we all have those elements. We can't really see it in English here, but in the Greek language, there are different if statements. And here's an if statement. And the structure of this particular one assumes that it's true. And so we could actually translate this, since you have bitterness in your heart, bitter jealousy in your heart, and since you have selfish ambition in your heart, do not brag about the fact that you're wise, because you're lying against the truth. You're lying against, you're saying something that's really not true about yourself. And I think we all fall into this category. Anybody here think of themselves most of the time? Yeah, we all do. Because we're important. And that's a crucial thing here. We are important. And so we're gonna talk a whole lot more about this. But what is the problem with bitter jealousy? Why are we jealous? Where does that come from? Yes?
Hello.
Beg your pardon?
That comes from the devil.
That comes from the devil? Okay. Where else? Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes we want what we don't have.
We want what we don't have. That doesn't happen to me. We want what we don't have, yeah. Rick first and then Dwayne.
Yeah, if you're not happy in your own skin. And you're jealous, you're...
Yeah, we're not happy with our own skin, who we are. Yeah. Dwayne?
In my own life, when I look back on it, a lot of times, I think it had to do with my lack of understanding of God, how he thinks, what kind of person he is. It's getting to know him as deeply as we should.
Okay, so there's some relationship with God here that we're missing out on if we find ourselves in that situation. And I think that's really true. Yes, sir?
Yeah, also, which is kind of the same thing as our own insecurities, no matter what it may be.
Our own insecurities, yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's fear-based.
Fear-based. Okay, a fear of what?
Not trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of the future, where I'm going to lose something I have.
Yeah, I think all of us have an idea. You know, we look around and we see what people have around us. Yes?
I was going to say comparing ourselves to others.
Ah, comparison. That's where we start to get in trouble. You know, if we didn't have anything to compare with, we probably would be dissatisfied with things. But the world certainly gives us a lot of things to compare with. You know, we have a whole advertising industry is based on that whole principle. Look around. You don't have, but I have just a thing for you. And if you buy today, I can give you this and so much more. Yeah, just over and over and over, we're just totally overloaded with that. Andy?
Yeah, somebody said, I've never seen an advertisement that says your deodorant is good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing is good enough. Go. Beg your pardon?
Lack of dependence on God.
Lack of dependence on God. Well, is God going to give me everything I want?
No.
No. It's probably not. If he gave me everything I wanted, I would probably think that I didn't need him. And he's never going to let me get into a position where I don't need him. Because that is not a good place for me to be. Because the reality is, I need him constantly, every day, all the time. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, from the time that we're little, seeing things on TV, we tend to have a more concern with materials than, and it distracts us from our spiritual guidance from God.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah. Well, that raises a question for us, though. Are material things bad?
No.
Yes and no. That's not a very good answer. Maybe? No, yeah.
Unhealthy desire for things.
Yeah. So God has given us all things for our enjoyment. But there's a big but here. And the but really is, we're not to find our life in these things. We're to find our life in God. Yeah, so there's a difference there. And sometimes we walk a very fine line between those two. Yes?
I think the tricky thing about material objects and having our physical needs met and stuff is it's one of those things in life, kind of like alcohol and sex, where in the space of God's boundaries, they're designed for our good. Well, actually, you don't need to drink, so I guess that doesn't count. But having a lot of money or having money, it easily becomes idolatry. It's one of those things where you have to keep an eye on it. That's why we tithe. That's why we are told to give generously as a way to practice the discipline of having us use money, not having money use us.
Okay, that's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, everything that God gives us, he gives us in the terms of a context. He says it works in this area. In this context, if you take it outside of that, it isn't going to work. And so we always have to understand that context that he gives us with these things. So selfish ambition and bitter jealousy come out of the fact when we look around and we see where somebody else perhaps has more than we do, or they got a promotion that we felt we should have gotten. They have things that we don't have, that we want, we desire. These lead us certainly away from God and into ourselves. And the big problem with all of this, aside from being idolatrous, is it doesn't satisfy. You know, if you're not satisfied with what God has given you today, you'll probably never, ever be satisfied. And the more you have, what you end up finding out is the more you have to take care of, and you're still not satisfied. You still need more. what was a Rockefeller or one of those guys a long time ago. He was asked, you know, how much more money do you need? There's one more dollar. One more dollar. Yeah, it just doesn't satisfy. And I think we all recognize that, but that still doesn't prevent us from wanting more. After that, we know what we're going to do with that. And particularly in the valley here, we see that as really a huge problem for us. So it says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't be bragging and so lie against the truth. And so it's almost better for us than if somebody asks, are you wise? And probably the right answer is, not so much. Not so much wise. Because I haven't gotten through my head yet what this wisdom is all about. And so we're going to take a look at then at the second comparison that shows up here. And that is the comparison between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Because there is a difference between the two. Okay, so starting in verse 15, he says, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. So there's three sources then of this earthly wisdom. The three sources then are earthly, natural, and demonic. What is earthly wisdom? Yeah, it's of this world, basically. Earthly wisdom, you know, if you watch TV, they're trying to tell you how to be wise all the time. Maybe it's make this investment or do this. And we hear that all constantly. We're constantly bombarded with that. Have you ever done something and it turned out badly, and afterwards you said, well, it sounded like a good thing at the time. Yeah, this stuff happens. Earthly wisdom is kind of a common wisdom. Wisdom that you're out with the guys in the street and they talk about, hey, this is what I'm doing and this is how I'm going to make a bunch of money and this is how I'm going to do this and that. That is earthly wisdom. How about the second one? What is natural wisdom? Dave?
Common sense.
Common sense, what we are born with.
Kind of like, well, animal instinctive type stuff, you know, instinct.
Okay, instinct. Yeah, it's stuff we start out with. How we view the world around us. How we start out learning how life is supposed to work for us. You know, some of it's good, some of it isn't necessarily bad. It's, you know, work hard and things will turn out for you. But it's the things we're born with, our natural starting point for wisdom. Then the last one is demonic. What might be demonic wisdom? Rick?
Satan wants us to worship things rather than God. Goes on about, our fulfillment in things. So he wants to distract us from God with these things.
Yeah, we started out right from the beginning of time with that, didn't we? In the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
So with the apple or whatever kind of fruit that was. You know, if you eat of this, then you will have the knowledge of good and evil, and you will know what is good for you and what's not good for you. And it turns out that that was not really true. We got that, but we really didn't understand what we got, and it really has not served us at all. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I was thinking of it too as like anything that's opposite from God.
Yeah, it's almost always opposite from God, isn't it? Or it's certainly different from what God says.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's kind of subtle, and we have to be paying attention with that. So all of these things are wisdom that doesn't really help us. And look at the result of that wisdom then. It says, there is disorder in every evil thing. There's disorder in every evil thing. If you were here on Friday night for R&R, you heard about the problem of anger in the recovery community. And it's not just in the recovery community, it's everywhere. There's a problem of anger. And this is kind of one of the results of wisdom that is not from God. You know, we want stuff, we don't have it, people are getting in the way. And if we're all wanting the same thing, we end up fighting over it. And we see that throughout our world constantly. Sometimes the fighting is in real warfare, but more often than not, it's behind the back and it's subterfuge and everything else. And it leads to disorder in every evil thing. David.
I can't help thinking about the seven deadly sins, because and I couldn't remember if selfishness is on there, but I always think of selfishness as being like the opposite of what God wants us to be. And I pray in the morning that I will be selfless instead of selfish that day.
Okay, well, that's always a good thing to pray for. Yes, sir.
I have a brief question. So would selfish wisdom, would that be included in that also?
What do you think?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Generally speaking, on questions like that, we really do know what the answer is because we tend to live it. And it really does get in the way and hurt us. So, you know, we talked quite a bit here about wisdom that's not good for us, and we're going to move into wisdom that is good for us. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what is the real problem here. I think the real problem here is that we have learned that we are kind of responsible for our own lives. You know, you have to look out for number one. And what God wants us to do is to depend on Him and find our life, our fulfillment of life, in Him, not in ourselves. And so that's really the background behind these two kinds of wisdom. If I think that I know what I need to be satisfied with life, then I'm going to pursue the earthly or the natural or the demonic wisdom. And I'm going to come up empty every time. I'm not going to be satisfied. So He wants us to depend on Him. You know, if you think about it, look at God Himself. God Himself is fully complete. He's fully satisfied. He doesn't need anything. He's just totally complete and whole. But God Himself is spirit. And spirits don't have bodies. Spirits are just spirit. But since God is completely full, the life that He gives us when we're born again is not material. It's all spirit. And so it's all on the inside. We tend to want to look for life and its fulfillment from things on the outside. He wants to make us whole and complete on the inside. And so we need to think quite a bit differently about where life really comes from and how to pursue that. And so now we're going to take a look at where heavenly wisdom comes from and what it looks like. So from verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits or good works, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So it says, first of all, this wisdom is pure. What does that mean? What is something when it is pure? It's unblemished, uncontaminated. In other words, there's nothing else in it. It's perfect. It's exactly right. Many of you have come out of the alcoholic community. You know, when you have something that's neat or straight up, it means there's nothing else in it. It's just a pure whiskey or whatever it is it happens to be. Well, the wisdom here is not diluted with anything else. It isn't diluted with natural wisdom. It isn't diluted with demonic wisdom or anything else, or earthly wisdom. It's just the wisdom from above. It's not contaminated with everything, anything else. So we need to understand that. Secondly, it says it's peaceable. This peaceable is a really important concept. Peace always is a relational term. It talks about how we relate to those around us. And if you think about it, if I realize that my life and its fulfillment comes from God, then all of a sudden now, I don't worry about what other people are doing. So what if they get a promotion above me? God is going to fill me up. He's going to make me whole. That's his job. If I don't have the kind of money my neighbor does, or the nice house, or the big car, whatever it happens to be, yeah, it'd be nice to have that, but hey, God is going to satisfy me. He's going to make me complete and whole. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Larry.
Another issue is when things go in a different direction, when what you try to do fails and hard times hit you. It's not only looking at the other guy and wishing you had what they had, but what happens when you things go against you under the law? So that to me is even a harder struggle.
Well, certainly is. When things go against us, we feel loss. There's no question about that. But again, God comforts us even in our loss. And the things he gives us, the eternal life that he gives us and the fulfillment, ultimately, the fruit of the Spirit, that cannot be taken away by loss in the material world. All kinds of bad things could happen to me, and I still have eternal life. The beauty of the fruit of the Spirit, when I am truly filled up with him, he gives me joy, which is not dependent on what's going on around me, because it happens on the inside of me. Happiness always depends on what's going on around me. If things are going well, I'm happy. If things aren't going well, I'm not so happy anymore. But the joy doesn't go away. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you used a question that I was thinking, like if the rich young ruler would have sold everything he had, would he have been more happier than he was?
If he sold everything he had and followed Jesus, he would have been made full and complete. But his happiness was dependent on his riches. The same thing with peace. Peace is probably more accurately described as the Jewish concept of peace, which is like saying, everything's fine. My life is good. I don't have everything I would want, but everything is fine. Things may be very chaotic all around me and on the outside, but on the inside, I go, hey, I'm in God's hands. Things are fine. And that's a wonderful thing to have. Mary Ann?
Like along the lines of contentment.
Yeah, it's contentment. You know, Paul in Philippians talks a lot about contentment, and he says, I had to learn how to be content. Yeah, we don't start out being content. That's something we have to learn, because we have to learn where it comes from. It doesn't come from more stuff. It only comes from a person. Rick?
Yeah, real peace is peace with God. If we don't have peace with God, we won't have peace with others or ourselves.
No, that's very true. God is our peace. We have to have peace with him first of all. And once we really grasp what that is and what it means to our lives, then we can find peace with others. It says here that it's peaceable. Wisdom from God is peaceable. It also says it's gentle. And the word gentle is more along the lines of, it kind of makes sense. When I have godly wisdom, it does make sense. It isn't just something that I hope turns out to be true, but it actually makes sense. And it also says it's reasonable. if I'm trusting in God and what he's doing in my life, then it is very, very reasonable. And then it has a couple outcomes. It says it's full of mercy and good works. Full of mercy and good works. You know, if I'm dependent on myself and what I can grab for myself, what are my chances of showing somebody some mercy? Not so good. Not so good. But if I understand that God has given me everything I really need that can't be taken away, it makes it a whole lot easier to show mercy. In reality, it also makes it easier to love others. I'm always reminded when I think about this of Thanksgiving dinner. You know, Thanksgiving Day, you eat about, you know, 24 hours that day, enough food for 3 years. At the end of the night, you know, mom or grandma comes out and says, "Have another piece of pie." And I go, "Oh, I can't eat anything more." You know, when I'm full of food, it'd be real easy to give the pie away to somebody else. The same thing is true with the life that God gives me. When I'm filled up with the life that he has, it's very easy to love others. And the more I love, the more I serve others, the more life he gives me. It just keeps feeding on itself. Love gives more life, and then life gives more love. And we grow, and we become more and more satisfied and complete and whole. That's what he wants. And that wholeness then results also in good works. It's unwavering. In other words, it doesn't stop. It keeps going. And it's not hypocritical. It's real. It comes out of our new life that we have. And it says then, the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. He wants us to become peacemakers. He wants us to have relationship with those around us and consider those around us. And the only way we can do that is by depending on him. He is the source of all life, and he wants us to enter in that relationship that he has within the Trinity, where life is true and full and complete. And once we do that, really understand the impact that has in our lives, then it allows us then to love others and to grow in our own understanding. And then we experience true wisdom. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, we're just so thankful for your word here. Without your word, we would really be in a mess. We really would not know about life. We would not know about the wisdom that you have. We'd be stuck with this earthly wisdom. And I just pray, Lord, that you will help us to see each day now your hand on our lives. And help us, Lord, to turn away from those things which lead to discord and all evilness, and turn to you and to rely on you and to learn how to love those around us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.